You are listening to KYRS Medical Lake Spokane, 88.1 and 92.3 FM. Afternoon, you're listening to Praxis on KYRS. I'm your host, Taylor, and today I've got another great panel discussion for you. I'm really excited about the caliber of guests I've been able to pull onto the show this during this relaunch. So I am going to share a little bit of context before I dive into that. But the panel that I hosted is Lily Navarrete, Puyan Lam, and Nagmana Ahmed Shirazi. All three of them are part of the No Discrimination Spokane Coalition. They are all immigrants themselves working on really important, really great immigrant rights work here in Spokane. So they will be talking about two different pieces of legislation. So it might get a little bit confusing, but hopefully we keep them straight. One is referred to as Prop 1, and it was brought forth as an initiative by a group called Respect Washington. And it would have empowered city employees in the city of Spokane, all city employees, not only law enforcement, that's important, to demand citizenship status of people they suspected were non-citizens. It's basically a show me your papers law was the shorthand for it. The No Discrimination Spokane Coalition was built to fight that, and ended up, to keep it off of the November ballot last year, and ended up that it was thrown out in court. So it didn't end up making it to the ballot. However, the group that put that initiative, tried to put that initiative on the ballot, is appealing in court, and that appeal hearing happens on Tuesday, October 23rd. So, these bright women in the panel will share a little more detail about that as we get started. The second piece is also local. A lot of these fights on immigration, you know, it's federal policy a lot of the time, but a lot of fights are happening on the local level around the country, including right here in Spokane, if that's where you're listening. So on Monday, October 22nd, the Spokane City Council will be voting on an ordinance called Protecting Passenger Rights for a Safer Spokane. I'm going to rattle through the text of that ordinance, just so you know what it is. But that vote is happening next Monday, not tonight, but a week from tonight at City Hall at 6 p.m. And again, the panel will talk about it a little more. But it's been broadly supported. They forwarded me a letter to the mayor that's signed by so many signers that I don't have time to read it all on the air. But just know a broad group of both kind of social justice advocacy type groups, but also small businesses, individuals, people who understand that this harms our community. So here's the ordinance. Spokane lies 97 air miles from the border at the furthest reaches of Customs and Border Protection, CBP, or Border Patrol Authority, but it has become a primary location for immigration enforcement activity in eastern Washington. CPB and Immigration and Customs Enforcement, ICE, have an outsized impact in Spokane. Indeed, Border Patrol has recently expanded by 30 agents in Spokane and frequently conducts armed, suspicionless searches of Greyhound buses and other bus lines, traveling between entirely domestic destinations, most often targeting people of color. This affects both citizens and non-citizens alike, intimidating riders, delaying drivers, and specifically harassing people of color. These indiscriminate searches are impacting our community's freedom to travel and to access public facilities like the Intermodal Center. The City of Spokane has committed to affording all Spokane residents and visitors equal opportunity to participate fully in the life of the city. To that end, the City Council is considering an ordinance that would bar immigration enforcement agents from non-public areas of city-owned property without a judicial warrant. This would include the bus boarding areas of the Intermodal Center and prevent these random bus searches. The immigration ordinance puts Spokane first. Detention and deportation separates families, harms communities, and damages the economy. When CBP and ICE arrest, detain, and deport a person, children lose a parent, employers lose a worker, friends and loved ones are separated, and fear spreads through the community. Spokane should not participate in the deportation pipeline, especially not at the cost of its social and economic fabric. All people have a right to live and visit Spokane without fear of interrogation by federal immigration authorities. Regardless of where they come from, their race, or their religion, Spokane residents and visitors have a right to travel without the threat of intimidation, delay, or racial profiling. Spokane should be a community where immigrants do not have to live in fear. Immigrants are integral to our community, and we support their civil rights. Spokane should be a leader in protecting the safety and civil rights of everyone. Safer and healthier communities benefit everyone in Spokane. When individuals are afraid to travel, access city services, report crime, and seek medical care, the health and safety of neighborhoods suffers. By safeguarding due process through requiring judicial warrants to access non-public areas of city-owned properties, Spokane builds trust and improves community safety and well-being. Entanglement in the federal government's anti-immigrant agenda puts the city at risk. By requiring ICE and CBP to obtain judicial warrants before accessing non-public areas of city-owned property, Spokane is protecting itself from costly legal action, defending civil rights and individual freedoms, and guaranteeing that Spokane, and not the federal government, determine how city resources are used. CBP should stop treating Spokane like a border town. CBP's unwarranted, suspicionless bus boarding affects the lives of everyone in Spokane, impeding their ability to travel to work, school, and to visit family. The Spokane Immigration Ordinance will assure that federal overreach does not curtail one's individual freedom to participate fully in the life of the city. So again, that is the local ordinance. Sorry for reading it fast. I want to cram everything in today. So, that's the local ordinance that will be voted on Monday, October 22nd, that this great panel will talk to you more about right now. All right, welcome to the show. I'm here pre-recording in the studio on a Saturday with three awesome guests. We're going to talk about the No Discrimination Spokane Coalition work that's happened, their work on what was known as Proposition 1 a couple years back that was defeated, but now is in the appeals court this coming week, and some other stuff around immigration policy in Spokane. So if you guys just want to all introduce yourselves, say a little bit about yourselves and your work.
All right. I'm Narmana Shirazi. I moved to Spokane about 6 years ago, and I really like living here. Love the community that I'm building here. I like working with Pijals, and I'm also part of Spokane Coalition of Color. There's a lot of different things that are going on that I'm interested in because of that.
Okay, I'm Puyang Lam. So actually I have been in Spokane since 2001, and I belong to different community groups. So I also belong to the Spokane Coalition of Color. I'm also a member of Asian Pacific Islander Coalition Spokane Chapter, among other things.
And my name is Lily. I've been in Spokane since 1988. So for 30 years, I've seen Spokane grow, or just our immigration grow here, and it's amazing. I'm part of CIRC, which is the Spokane Immigrant Rights Coalition, and I am also the RAIS manager, and yeah, just doing great things in the community.
Great. And at Planned Parenthood.
Planned Parenthood, yes.
Just for folks who don't, because that's a new program here.
It's a new program, and it's doing great.
Cool. So my understanding is that Puyan and Nagmana, you were the chairs and are the chairs of No Discrimination Spokane?
Correct.
Cool. So can one or both of you talk a little bit about how that group came to be and what your focus was at the beginning?
Well, I think I was drawn to that campaign because a couple of the organizations I am a member of are the plaintiffs of the Prop 1 case. I belong to, I mentioned Asian Pacific Island Coalition, but also Spokane Chinese American Progressives, and they are both plaintiffs on the case.
I came into the middle of it, so I don't have a lot of background in history. I just remember hearing about it at a workshop that I went to, and it kind of went against the goat in the sense that, you know, I'm born and raised in Pakistan, and my son is obviously same origin, even though he's born here. But the thing that was bothering me was that, you know, he could be walking down the street and a meter person could just ask him and say, hey, show me your documentation. And that bothered me, that just on the basis of his color, maybe the way that he speaks, his accent, well, he doesn't have an accent, but I do. And I mean, like lots of people do, even a lot of my Bosnian friends who look European, but when they start talking, they they do have an accent. They're from the Ukraine, or you know, they have some kind of accent. So, on the basis of that fact, that they could be paying their bill at, you know, at a Walmart, and a city employee could say, "Now show me your documentation," and it just reeks of profiling and unfairness. And so, I decided to do something about it, and I decided to join the coalition. I took my indignation to the Spokane Islamic Center. And another group that I belong to is called Muslims for Community Action and Support. And I brought them on board. And that was the first time, I think, in the history of the Spokane Islamic Center that being a 501c3 chapter entity, they did agree to this because they're like very heavily into, you know, I guess we really mind being Muslims. We are profiled in such massive quantities and at every opportunity. People look at us for everything, that we tend to stay away and shy away from any kind of limelight. And we just don't want to make waves. Everybody wants to just stay under the radar, keep your head down, keep working hard, and you know, just be part of the community. So it was really difficult for the Spokane Islamic Center to come out and say it and actually, you know, land on one side of the fence for a change instead of being just on it. But I think they agreed with me when I was very vocal about this, because you know, it's very, very important. I felt that this is something that I'm handing off to my child, a world that might be unfair if I didn't do something about it today. Mm-hmm. So they agreed with me, and then they joined the coalition. And then Puyan and I became co-chairs, and I think we were involved in it all the way to the end, and were actually in court as well.
And if I may add, I think it is very significant that several of the plaintiffs on Prop 1 case, they are Asian immigrants groups. I think oftentimes when people think of immigrant issues, they might tend to think of certain groups. They might tend to think about the Latinx community and how they might be affected. So certainly it affects broader immigrant communities and immigrants of color specifically with this kind of measures. So I think it was really significant for, besides the Muslim groups, for the Asian immigrants to step up and be part of this case and to be part of the No Discrimination Spokane campaign.
Mm-hmm. And can we back up a tiny bit and just talk about what Prop 1 was and what it proposed to do in Spokane?
So Proposition 1, if passed, would kind of roll back some of the protections the city of Spokane has introduced for the immigrants' populations. And so it would allow for city employees, including the police officers, to inquire on individuals' immigration status. And it would also make it harder for the city to intervene, give their employees not only to inquire information about immigration status, but also when the employees want to share information about immigration status with federal agents. And so you can see, you know, the implication of those rollbacks in protection. It could potentially lead to racial profiling. And police officers are included in those measures, and also it means that it might make it harder for immigrant communities to reach out to police officers, worrying that if they might ask us about our immigration status, and if that information could be shared with federal agents.
Mm-hmm. And my understanding is it was beyond just police officers, right? Like Namjana was saying, it's all city employees.
Yeah.
So at the library.
Yeah. Or pretty much when anywhere. We go access surface, that's basically a part of the city. Mm-hmm. It could be when we're in the parks and someone who worked for the city could come to us and ask us about our immigration status.
It was initiated by Respect Washington, who are a group out of the West Coast area of Seattle, I believe. And ordinarily, you know, this is, very shortly put, it's an anti-immigrant profiling initiative which would have been placed on the ballot. And you had to check it to disagree with it. So if it was put on the ballot and nobody went all the way down to the end and checked it or unchecked it, left it unchecked, it would have passed. So our whole reasoning behind this was that, you know, it shouldn't even be on the ballot. Why is a group out of Spokane, not in Spokane, coming into Spokane, putting this on our ballot, you know, and making something like this happen? Spokane, from my perspective, is a beautiful city, and we very much want to be part of it, and we are doing so well here. It is a welcoming city, and, you know, we've got all these businesses coming. It is an up-and-coming city. It's cited as being one of the top 10 metropolitan cities growing in the United States of America. So to keep all that progress going, it is important for us to keep this perspective. And so this kind of racial profiling initiatives, you know, our residents obviously didn't want it. So the first thing that's going to happen is that there is an ordinance that that's being voted on the 22nd, and we need people to go and vote against it. For it. And then on the 23rd, the same group, Respect Washington, have appealed in the Court of Appeals, and we want people to go there also at 11 o'clock in the morning make themselves visible and kind of show support for our cause here.
Mm-hmm. So just to clarify the appeal, so this was meant to be on the ballot in 2016, correct?
17, I think it was last year.
Yes, 2017.
These last years have been kind of a blur.
Yeah, November 2017.
But before it could reach the ballot, the court struck it down.
Struck it down, yes.
Yeah, and Namana mentioned the group respects Washington, but I think that initiative has a longer history, and that also that did include some of the local people. So it's not entirely from the west side, in terms of the history of that initiative going back before 2017.
Mm-hmm. So struck from the ballot, but Respect Washington and the other supporters are appealing its striking from the ballot, and that's what's going on Tuesday, October 23rd?
Correct.
Yes, at 11 o'clock in the Court of Appeals.
Okay. And I think the Court of Appeals is right by the courthouse, 500 North Cedar.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. So, and like you said, when people found out about this, the coalition, No Discrimination Spokane, grew pretty rapidly. And I'm just going to rattle off the endorser list because it's really broad. It was ACLU of Washington, Asian Pacific Islander Coalition, the Spokane Chapter, Center for Justice, Council on American Islamic Relations, Fuse Washington, Greater Spokane Progress, Liberal Ladies League, Main Street Alliance, Muslims for Community Action and Support, NAACP of Spokane, Peace and Justice Action League of Spokane, Planned Parenthood of Greater Washington and North Idaho, Pride Foundation, Refugee Connections, Spokane Chinese American Progressive, Spokane County Human Rights Task Force, Spokane Islamic Center, Regional Labor Council, Spokane Women Together, Tenants Union of Washington, Washington Community Action Network, and YWCA Spokane. So that's a lot of, that's a formidable coalition.
The reason why this whole coalition, and it's growing, by the way, came into being is because we as a whole are so many different people from so many different parts of the world making up this immigrant society here in community here in Spokane. And Lily will probably tell you a lot more about all of that, you know, and when we talk about racial profiling, it's not just one community, it's all of us together.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, I'm curious about that, just to hear each of your perspectives on your own immigrant experience in Spokane and maybe the experience of people in your community to the extent that you can share other people's experience, you know.
So I came with my family back in 1988. We came by bus from Mexico City to border town, then from the border town in Mexico to Spokane, all by bus and by car. So when we came here, it was hard, you know, coming from a city with millions of people to 1988. It was like, I don't know, two blocks of where I lived, you know, compared to Spokane. It was just, a very, very much culture shock. I liked it. It was calm, not a lot of cars back then. And school, when we started school, I started sixth grade, and I was put in the ESL program, English Second Language classes, and I just loved it. I had friends from all over the world that I had never imagined meeting. I had friends from Greece, Vietnam, my gosh, Bosnia, Iraq, just all kinds of parts in the world. And I love that part of the day we had English classes, and then the last hour we went to a regular classes with normal, well, not normal, but with the Anglo kids. And I felt like I don't know, I feel more at home in my group with the kids in other, you know, from other countries. I guess because we had experienced the same thing. We had left our countries to better ourselves. Our parents brought us here for a better life. For 30 years we've been here. My sisters and I, we graduated from college. We have our families here. Our kids were born here, raising them. The community, the immigrant community, has grown. The Russian population has also grown a lot too, and there's more need now of, like Nagmana and Puyan were saying, I came at the end of Prop 1, but I was fortunate enough to be at the inside that courthouse when that was defeated, and a lot of relationships grew when I was there, and that's what we need. I guess that's my call, at least, to help my community grow.
Well, as I mentioned, I came in 2001. I actually moved here from Pullman, Washington. But I have lived in the San Francisco Bay Area, and I've lived at, you know, during different period of time in the Seattle area, I would go there a lot. And so the contrast is pretty huge, traveling between Spokane and Seattle, in terms of, I think the attitudes towards immigrants, and you know that I would experience in the Seattle area versus what I would experience in Spokane. I am also in education, so I also would hear stories from my students of color about how they would be treated in this area. And I'm heartened. I am encouraged that I see that there is a growth definitely in immigrants' communities, in communities of color in Spokane. And more encouraging to me is to see the communities of color, to see the immigrants' communities coming together. And part of it was in reaction to Proposition 1, that we are coming together to work on different issues, not just immigration issues. For example, the Spokane Coalition of Color was formed around the time that the different groups were working on the No Discrimination Spokane campaign also. That is when I myself met some of the core members of the Spokane Coalition of Color who came from NAACP, who came from the Hispanic Business Professional Association. And so I think that's one of the very positive consequences of a Prop 1.
I agree. It's been interesting, the kind of people that I've met. Like, for instance, I mean, it's not just people who have just migrated here. You know, like, my brother moved here, then he sponsored my parents sponsored me, and here I am 11 years later. I mean, it took 11 years for my citizenship to come through all the way. But there are people here who have tried to escape genocide and have, you know, escaped various different... there's so many reasons why people migrate here. And Spokane has been very, very welcoming to that extent, and we want to keep it that way. Imagine having only one kind of food served here in Spokane. If you didn't have immigrants, if you didn't have people from different parts of the world, I mean, you wouldn't have Indian, Pakistani food, you wouldn't have Mexican food, you wouldn't have Chinese food, Korean food...
Ethiopian food.
Ethiopian food. Food, even French.
Queen of Sheba. Yeah.
Right. So the whole point is that, you know, the more diversity there is, the richer the fabric of our lives. We learn from each other. We grow from learning from each other. And we can only do that when we talk to other immigrants, when we talk to other people from different parts of the world. I consider myself a global citizen because I still have a couple of different continents to get to. It's on my bucket list, but I have lived and worked on three different continents, and I have learned a lot. I am very fond of saying that people rub off on me, and at the same time, I rub off on people. Anybody has any question, they can ask me about anything. And I think that's true of most immigrants, most people who are from different parts of the world. We all want to talk about from where we are from. It's nice to be able to bring those memories, but we are very, very proud to be here, and we're proud to be working and living in this environment, and we're proud to be part of the American fabric itself.
Mm-hmm. I want to add to what Namana was saying in terms of the contributions of our immigrants community to Spokane. It's beyond food, but also to look at the economy of Spokane, look at the universities and colleges that we have in the Spokane area, that you will find we have immigrants faculty of color. For example, if we think about, you know, medical school, you know, looking at the professors who are part of it, and looking at the businesses beyond restaurants, you know, there are a lot of different kinds of businesses that are owned by immigrants. And also, you know, the economic contributions of immigrant populations, with the amount of money that we invest into the city, into the county, by the houses that we buy, by the services that we use. And that's why in the No Discrimination Spokane campaign, a big part of it was also the business community in Spokane.
Yeah. And if you're just joining us, you're listening to Praxis on KYRS. I'm here with Nagmana Shirazi, Puyan Lam, and Lily Navarrete, and we are talking about the No Discrimination Campaign, Prop 1 appeal, which is in court this coming week, not tomorrow, but the following Tuesday, and also getting into another vote that's going to happen on Monday, October 22nd in Spokane City Council. Then maybe we can talk about a little bit what that vote is and what people should know about it.
So this ordinance that is being voted on Monday the 22nd, it's a work of all of our different coalition partners. And basically what that will be doing is getting ICE and CBP, Border Patrol, out of the non-public intermodal area. Since 1988 that I had been living here, and when the old Greyhound was in the old location, I think it was, I never went,
on
by
first.
The way. On first, yes, mm-hmm. Because we were always warned, CBP is there, I have never traveled in bus, actually, ever. Because of the fear. I'm a naturalized citizen now, but back then, you know, we were warned. And and I'm sure 30 years or before 1988, CBP had been present at the Greyhound station. But this initiative will prevent Border Patrol to not racial profile passengers or come in without a warrant, because they do come on the buses to just take passengers out because their color, maybe because they're speaking a different language, and ask for documents. Instances have been recorded recently by one of our great volunteers from ACLU, and I am so happy that finally the city of Spokane is doing something about this. And again, with the help with our other coalition partners, this will take place. The voting will take place on Monday, October 22nd. So we do need all the support that we can get. I am gathering all of my community. Let them know we will no longer live in fear. We can go visit our family members without being scared to board a bus.
Because it's been happening quite a lot, right?
Yes.
This isn't one or two instances.
No.
It's frequent that Border Patrol has been boarding these buses, not just the Greyhound, but all the bus lines that run through Spokane, and also the Amtrak, I learned. And it was always my impression the train was a little safer to take for people, but no longer. So hopefully that can happen.
Yeah.
What other, would that affect other areas? It's public, it's non-public space, because the city owns the property of the intermodal center where Greyhound and Amtrak is.
Right, right. According to the ordinance, it's non-public areas where they can't go.
So do you
know? But without a warrant.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So for a specific person, right?
Right.
Not just let's get on this bus and see if anyone looks like an immigrant,
yes.
Air quotes.
Yeah.
Do you know if that would affect the STA Plaza or the airport?
I don't know.
I believe the language is a little bit broader than that. So it covers city properties, not only the intermodal station. But we can look into the facts a little bit later to look at the precise language of the ordinance. But my impression is it's a little bit more broader than that.
Yeah, because they have been present at the STA as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and how is that? Do you know, I mean, how is the environment in general since, I would say, the 2016 election has it changed for your different communities?
For my community, at least, the Latinx community, we've been labeled rapists and murderers. So we have experienced a lot more rhetoric against us. You see people, you know, speaking Spanish, and anyone just comes up and starts, with just being awful and mean people, and two women in Idaho that got a Border Patrol in a gas station. They were buying milk because they were speaking Spanish. He asked for documentation, so it's been hard since the Trump administration took over. It's been tough, real tough. I'm not even going to go into detail with the separating kids at the border, because mm-hmm. that's just part of it, also a big part.
Mm-hmm. I think most of the Muslim population here in Spokane, and we've been called the growing Muslim problem by some people, but the thing is, we by far and large either come through World Relief or, you know, as refugees or as immigrants, in the sense that cities like New York, Chicago, Houston, these are very, very large cities, and they're what's called destination cities. People come there and they migrate there and they never leave there. If anyone is interested in coming to Spokane or Portland or even Seattle for that matter, it's mainly people who are educated and then have been invited to come in, and, you know, because of their qualifications and there's jobs available, or, you know, through the refugee connection or World Relief in this area. So generally, we haven't really faced that kind of thing. But at the end of the day, you know, because my color makes me different, my accent makes me look different, any one of us can be, and people, you know, a lot of Muslim women wear hijab. We've had a lot of instances where little girls have had their hijabs ripped off and stuff like that. And, you know, it's been very, very scary for, you know, our children, and how they should react or not react, and how to steer away, you know. I was wondering, actually, about this situation that I saw outside my office. I work in the university district, and there was this ICE Border Patrol police car standing right outside my office at the crossroads, and just outside Shadi Towers. And I was shocked to see that. I was like, I wonder what they're doing here. This is, I mean, like a university area, and there's a lot of different people from different nationalities. And, you know, what would they be doing here? They would either be students or they would be teachers or staff member, you know, who'd be here legally. So, you know, but just looking at that made me think about it, like, oh, my gosh. It kind of puts you in on a defensive mode. Whether you're, you know, whatever my situation is or anybody's situation, you go defensive, and that's the sad part.
And for me, I, because of my work and also engagement in the community, I interact with a lot of different immigrant groups and not just immigrants from Hong Kong or Asia. And so I know that there is a lot of fear. Across many different groups. And I remember there were a couple of casual conversations. It was just kind of women's night out, you know, we're chit-chatting, and we all happened to be immigrants, including some who came to the United States very, very young. But we had a discussion whether we should keep our passport with us all the time, even though we are naturalized citizens. We fear what if one day we didn't have a passport with us, and then we have an encounter with Border Patrol. So the fear is quite widespread. I think for immigrants, it doesn't matter if you came out when you were two years old, when you were a teenager, or when you're here for college. It doesn't matter if you're highly educated, you have a PhD or not. I think those things don't protect us. At least this is the perception. Those things don't mean anything anymore. It doesn't matter if we are law-abiding citizen, we work hard to get our citizenship, that all those don't matter anymore. And all the thing that people see when they see us is we are a threat to the United States.
Hmm. Yeah. And on the flip side of that, I mean, obviously that's terrible. And I'm glad that so many people are working together and getting together to fight this from across such a broad, you know, base here in Spokane. And I'll say that as someone who is from Spokane, who's, you know, a white social justice person in Spokane, these last 3, maybe 5 years have been so amazing to watch because, like you said, Spokane Coalition of Color, all of the different communities of color that have kind of been pushed to the sidelines in a lot of ways through the history of Spokane, even in justice-y circles, have really just emerged and led and been amazing during this time. So it makes me really happy to see. And I guess that leads to what does solidarity look like for both for people who are allies, who are not immigrants, but also in like inter-immigrant group work?
So I belong to a group called Spokane Women Together. It was a group founded by Hillary Hart, who saw the fact that, you know, women wearing hijab here in Spokane were being victimized. There's a couple of stories that she came across. And she reached out to the Spokane Islamic Center and said, why would anyone wear a hijab if they're living in Spokane? And then the Spokane Islamic Center, because I was at the time women's representative to the board, they said, Sister Nahmana, do you want to look at this? And so I and a couple of other people, we reached out to Hillary. The result of that has been that she grew, this group grew, and it was basically anyone who wanted to join. So we have women who cover their hair, whether they're Christian, Jewish, Sikh, Hindu, Muslim, or women who don't cover their hair. And it's been one of the nicest experiences of my being here in Spokane. We just meet up, we swap stories, and we eat together. Everybody brings food. I'm a foodie, can you tell?
I was going to say, there's a theme that's coming out.
It is a theme with me, yes. And so I connect to people on the basis of food. I really do, because I love food and I have stories to tell about food, and I think that's very common to all of us. We all have heritage things that bring us together, and food is a very, very common denominator. So we all get together, we talk about different things, and that's one of the things that I've missed living away from my friends and family, near and dear ones. When I moved to this area, I had no friends here. I had no family here. I came here to work with a company that, 6 years ago. And I had to develop, or had to build, a community of my own. And that was something that was very lacking for me, and it was very hard for me, because I've always had a sisterhood, as somebody that I could depend on. My mother wasn't here, my sisters weren't here, my friends weren't here, somebody that I could ask. My son is 17 going on 48, you know, I need help with him sometimes, and it does take a village to raise a child. I'm a single mom, and so I always have to have some kind of information that I don't have at my fingertips. And so this group really came in very handy for me. You know, there were these older ladies, there were these younger girls, there was, you know, women of my age, slightly younger than me. We're all different ages, and we all come with so many different experiences of life. And so that has been very valuable for me. And I know a lot of other women as well. We have refugees in our group. We have immigrants in our group. We have people who have been living in Spokane for their entire lives. We have Native American women in our group. So it's been very, very rich experience.
Cool. How about for you two? Just solidarity question.
I think solidarity requires hard work. And I think, you know, it's easy to romanticize solidarity, or groups coming together and you know, we work together in harmony, and in reality it doesn't work like that, but it makes it more precious because it requires all the groups to come together and really open their hearts and minds to learn about each other's struggles. And some of these conversations are difficult. So I think it requires a lot of trust, a lot of honesty, and a lot of forgiveness. And I think what I'm seeing is that, look, all the groups that are coming together, working on immigrants' rights issues, we are all working really hard on these things, that we are all working really hard to understand each other a little bit better. We're all working really hard, you know, to be open and honest with each other, so to communicate better with each other. And so I think at the same time, it's a lot of hard work. It's also really encouraging.
I find solidarity in with the people that I work, my coworkers, some neighbors. Not all of them, but whenever I give like an interview, or I'm out in the community, you know, fighting, I just always say to people, you know, and I'm hoping to change their minds, but I know that's not going to happen. Hopefully I will reach someone, but get to know an immigrant, you know, get to know a refugee, learn about them. Learn their background, where they come from. You know, what's the reason they left their country? It hurts to leave your country and your family, especially when you're in the process of, you know, getting your green card, applying for citizenship. You can't exit the U.S. And if you have family members that get ill or unfortunately pass away, which I unfortunately have had that happen, you're here, though you're with your family, but you wish it could be there, because we have different traditions, different rituals that we miss. We miss family members being born or whatnot. But reach out to someone that speaks a different language than you. Not different than you, because we're all the same. But someone that speaks a different language, has a different skin color, and just lend them a hand. Ask them, how can I help you, or how can I be there for you?
Mm-hmm. And I think that's something that people are, that white people, I'll say, are really intimidated by somewhere like Spokane. There's this idea that Spokane is so homogenous and it's so white, and statistically it is to some extent, but also there's so much diversity here in terms of the immigrant populations, the refugee populations. What would you say is the best way to initiate that if people...
I would probably recommend volunteer for the different organizations that are out there, become a member, Spokane Coalition of Color, Raiz of Planned Parenthood, reach out to our Muslim population too, and lend a hand. I'm like Mana, I love food. So there's always, an opportunity to let's have like a potluck and bring food from your country or people. I mean, with food, you can't do anything and talk over things. Just a volunteer, reach out, look up organizations that will benefit, that will culturally enrich you. And you know, if you have a neighbor that's, you know, speaks a different language, approach them and say, you know, welcome, you know, how can I help you? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's so many organizations. Well, first and foremost, like things like churches have different, like I know the Greek Orthodox Church puts on a Greek festival every year. Mm-hmm. I know there's lots of Korean churches here who have festivals. Again, you know, you got to keep it, go to the festivals, you know, yes. Go enjoy them.
Yeah.
That's the best way to find out what people, everyone's happy, they're eating, they're drinking, they're having a good time. That's the best time to meet somebody like that. The Interfaith Council, based here in Spokane, I know Skylar Oberst works a lot with that, and Pam Silverstein. They have done a piece on the religious landscape of Spokane. And what they did was they held events at all these different organizations, at the synagogue, at the Temple Beth Shalom, at the Spokane Islamic Center, at the Abbey, at the different churches. And so these are all instances where you can go to meet your neighbors. Mm-hmm. That's what they call their events, meet the neighbor. And so if you go to these and you find out a little bit about who does what or why are they doing whatever they're doing, it'll give you a better perspective on, you know, where people come from when they make a statement. And it doesn't necessarily mean everything negative. Just because you have negative connotations imposed upon something in your perception, it may not necessarily be true.
Right. I will add to that, besides kind of the interpersonal level, I think also it would be great for allies to read up on U.S. foreign policies, and that explain a lot why groups are here, and to also to keep their eyes on the different changes in immigration policies, because there are a lot coming down in many different areas, so sometimes it could be difficult to keep track of. There are measures that would affect not only just undocumented immigrants, but also immigrants who already have their permanent resident status or even naturalized citizen. And so we need to all kind of keep track of what's happening. And also, you know, learning U.S. history, and sometimes I think, you know, even well-meaning allies don't necessarily understand the full extent of U.S. history that might, again, you know, that especially immigration history and how race has been a great part of our immigration policies, and mostly in the negative sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. So I always like to... Well, first of all, I guess we'll back up and repeat those dates for everyone. So the Prop 1 appeal is in the Court of Appeals at 500 North Cedar on Tuesday, October 22nd at 11...
23rd.
October 23rd, thank you, at 11 a.m.?
At 11 a.m.
Mm-hmm. And that's a silent opportunity, correct?
Yes, you just go sit there respectfully and just make your presence known that you're supporting it. We will have stickers for you to put on to show that you're in favor of us, you know, defeating this problem.
And then Monday the 22nd, there's my date I was looking for, 6 p.m., but folks can show up starting at 5 at Spokane City Hall, is the vote on protecting passenger rights and keeping Border Patrol and ICE out of our public spaces.
Right.
Okay. So even if you don't have time to speak or would not like to speak, but at least sign up on the sheets to say that you are in support of this, for the vote, and it will really help a lot.
And I think people can also write to that city council members prior to the 22nd.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I can share those links on the podcast, which I'll share at the end of the show. Just in closing, these are dark days in a lot of ways. As you were saying, the policies that are coming down are scary. People are scared. It's not a great time in our country. It's great, on the other hand, because we have a lot of opportunity to organize together. But I always like to ask people, what is feeding them? Let's go back to your food thing, I guess. And what is giving you hope lately? So if you have a thing that's doing that for you.
What's giving me hope? My kids. I don't want them growing I just don't want them seeing all this hate. I want to show them that we, though we're not, I am not actually born in U.S. soil, and I am a citizen by naturalization, that I fight. And I fight for those who don't have a voice, that are scared. They can find a voice in me, gives me hope to know that I can at least do something. If not me, then who? And if not now, then when? And hope that there will be change. I am definitely going to use my vote, and I encourage everyone that can to vote and just make this. America has always been great. There's no need for change. We just need to make it a little bit better, and you know, remove people that are not right.
I think at the end of the day, I'm an optimist. I think we have seen in history different successful social movements and the changes that they brought about, and so I think change can happen and our world can be better.
I'm a mover and a shaker, so I don't sit back and watch everything happen around me. I try to do things so that it makes it better for everybody all around, but without the struggle, there is no end result. If you want to change something, or if you want to see a change, you have to get up and do it yourself. The good thing about this current administration, how it's evolved, is the fact that, you know, people who had been on the fence, didn't care one way or the other, actually are taking sides. So this has developed into something where people are beginning to realize that, no, I got to stand up and say something. And that's what's important. You know, fight for what you believe in, and have a say, make yourself heard. And if you don't want to fight necessarily, you know, it's support in whichever way form that you can, whether it's by money, whether it's by writing, whether it's by hosting a group of non-white immigrants in your home, maybe for dinner or whatever, and have a conversation or two. All I'm saying is that, you know, there's always hope and there's always change. Things will never be the same. It's up to us how we make it and how positive we stay with it.
Great. Well, unless any of you have any last thoughts to throw in, I think that's a good place to wrap.
Thank you for having us.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you all for being here. We can have a potluck soon.
Yes.
All right. If you're just joining in at the end of the show, you've been listening to Praxis. That was a roundtable recorded this past weekend with three of the leaders of the No Discrimination Spokane Coalition. They were sharing some dates in there. I'll throw them to you one more time. The appeal for Proposition 1, Respect Washington attempting to get Proposition 1 back on the ballot, is Tuesday, October 23rd at 11 a.m. at the Spokane County Court of Appeals, 500 North Cedar. The coalition is requesting that people come to support there. And on Monday, October 22nd, the City of Spokane City Council is voting during their meeting at 6 p.m. on this protecting passengers' rights, banning Border Patrol and ICE from non-public city property without a specific warrant. So lots of exciting things going on right now in the realm of immigrant rights. If you missed any part of the show and you want to hear the whole thing, I will post the podcast tonight. You can find that by searching Praxis on iTunes, Google Play, other places you get podcasts. You can also go directly to the feed at soundcloud.com/praxisradio, PRAXISRADIO. You can also find all those links on my show page at kyrs.org. Thanks so much for listening. I will be back next week with an entire show devoted to how to sustain our activism in difficult times with my friend Bill Aull. So until then, have a good week, and I'll be back soon.
ICE, water frozen solid. ICE, Immigration and Customs Enforcement. ICE, El Hielo.
Iba pasando el trapo sobre la mesa y está cuidando que todo brille como una perla. Cuando llegue la patrona, que no se vuelva a quejar. No sea cosa que la acuse de ilegal.